Abraham, anything that that you would like to talk about, or Anthony, you'd like to talk about before we get started?
I guess I want to just make sure that we're on target and not falling behind, which is, I guess, a concern of mine, that in terms of where we're at in the process. You know, because I've watched the videos, and it seems like we should be further ahead based on that. Just want to kind of share with you more or less where we're at and see if we're on target. I've introduced Supernova to roughly 15 people out of the 70, and I think we've scheduled most of those at this point. That's basically where we're at. We already set up different split numbers and all that, and have reassigned the ones that we're reassigning to Anthony. We also, I built a one client folder, as I think you had asked last week. And that's pretty much, I identified a few possible niches and made a list of possible COIs, but haven't reached out to any of them yet. So that's basically where we're at in the process. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. And that hesitancy in my voice is, Tola, those things that you talked about, the niches, you mentioned something else, centers of influence.
Yeah.
They're introduced earlier in Supernova.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, I mean before the last 4 weeks, which is focused on acquisition. And then they're fully fully fleshed out. So
okay.
I wouldn't spend any time worrying about that, because I know we'll get to them. Plus,
okay,
we've branched out on a couple of other things that are usually covered later. So I'm very, very pleased with where you are in this. We've had this conversation a couple of times, and I'm glad you bring it up. I always get through the material, and I think I told you this in week one. If I didn't, I made a mistake, because I try to tell everybody that where you and I might be is not going to be exactly where the material
okay.
is, because every FA is different.
Okay, great.
This isn't, Abraham, and I think you will appreciate this, this isn't a script that I'm reading from. It's going to be the same for you as it is for the person I'm talking to at 10 o'clock this morning. We know this material well enough that we can go where the need is and then backfill during the with the other thing. So never hesitate to bring it up, but just know that you're in a great place.
Great, thank you.
All right. So you've introduced it to 15 people. And those 15 people are all scheduled. Is that what I heard?
I think most of them are scheduled. I mean, Anthony can speak to that better than I can.
I think we have about 9 to 10 of them scheduled, and then the other 5 I've reached out to, and they haven't gotten back to me, or they're having conflicts with their calendars, that type of thing. But I mean, it's just a matter of following up with them, you know, every other day, and just make sure we get it on the calendar.
Good. And when is the first of those scheduled, Anthony?
Next Monday we start.
Okay. Good. How many are scheduled on Monday?
I think 2.
I'll pull up my calendar as we're speaking, but
we have Avi and...
Yeah. Yeah, 2, I believe, 2.
Good. The fact that I ask you when the first one is and you without hesitation say next Monday is very encouraging to me.
I do have a question about that, Rob.
Yep.
Like, as we're putting new people in starting in the month of June, what I had figured was that we would want to vary them in terms of so that they don't all go call, meeting. Like, for example, some were starting with a meeting in June. Others were starting with a call. That way we don't have everybody's face-to-face falling at the same time on the same month. Does that make sense, or what do you think about that?
That's absolutely right. And in the scheduling tool, Anthony, when you went over that with Cindy, you know there's a toggle button in that Excel spreadsheet where it says, I think it's called cycle.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, Anthony?
Yeah, where the months that indicate there are the actual in-person meetings.
Yeah, so you know, people can be on various schedules, like they can be January, July, February, August. So you want to make sure not everybody, you don't want everybody on the same cycle, because then it's going to kill Abraham. If you got everybody on the January, July cycle, Abraham's going to get buried because of all of the reviews. So Abraham,
right, we're mixing and matching.
Like Anthony's on top of that.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we have three. We have two face-to-face and a call on Monday, the 6th. So it's going to be a busy day.
It is. Now, but think about this. Typically, if you have three calls, one of those is going to be a review, and two of those are going to be non-review months.
Right.
So,
right. And that'll be the case for the call this guy. He's going to be a non-review month.
Yeah. And those are shorter calls. All right.
Yeah, but you know, one thing I've noticed, Rob, is that when I get done with a day like that, like I'm drained, but also like it feels awesome. You know what I mean? When you've had like back-to-back-to-back meetings and you're connecting with people and you're doing high-level work, by the end of the day, I feel really good. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to feeling that feeling more.
Well, and that's some of the feedback you got back from what happens is people start to implement this, advisors start to implement this, Abraham, and then they get energy from the response of the clients.
Yeah.
When you sent that email last week, I was energized.
Right.
Because of the success you had. As you have more success, as you get more referrals, as your business grows, you're gonna might be tired at the end of the day, but you're gonna, like you've identified, you're gonna feel really good. And what
Absolutely.
You do, and you'll come back in the next day, and you'll work with a high degree of energy, work hard, do what you do to recover, come in the next day, and you just, it's like a series of sprints.
Mm-hmm.
Each day, and
I can see that for sure.
Feel it already. All right, now you sent me something about and it was a well thought out chart to make sure nothing falls through the cracks. I think you're making it too complicated. All I can do is give you my thoughts. That's what you pay me to do. You've got to decide whether how to execute. But I think I put this in my email, that the responsibility can't leave your team. If you've got somebody who is not part of your team, but he's doing something for you, your team, or for a client, you've got to maintain the control in your team. And that's why I asked
I got that. Yeah, so the task is assigned to either myself or Anthony to follow up with that person, even though the task is really theirs, but it's our responsibility to stay on top of them. I understand that.
Yeah, because if this person disappoints you, it's going to reflect on you with the client, not on that person.
Let me ask you.
Go ahead.
I mean, to that point, Rob, let's say I finish a conference call with a client, went well, we uncover a couple of different opportunities and a service item or two. Some of which would be for Anthony, some of which would be for me. At that point in time, I know I've got another call starting in 10 minutes. What do I do with that information, those tasks, and that folder?
Well, first of all, you have to make notes during the conversation, and then that time that you've got between calls, you've got to make some notes. They don't have to be 100%. What you want them, but you've got to get your thoughts down, because once you go to the next call, lines start to blur. That works that way with me. I'll make notes after this call before my 10 o'clock call. So you got to take notes along the way. So if you're having a conversation with the client, when you finish with that folder, you're going to give that folder back to Anthony, and Anthony's going to file it however you all file that. Now, mm-hmm. on part of your part, the fifth part of your folder is your agenda.
Right.
You with me?
Mm-hmm. I am indeed.
Here's the way I recommend that you do that. You put notes on there that are anything that is there for Anthony to follow up on, you've put there on your agenda page.
Mm-hmm.
Need to change the address. Need to send out a check. Need whatever. And that's
right.
Anthony's responsibility. Anything
right.
that's your responsibility, you put into your task list so you don't forget.
Where's my task list?
You've got in Outlook, you've got a task list. On my version, it's in the lower right-hand corner.
Okay.
You just write your tasks in there. That way they're not going to slip through the cracks.
Okay.
So at the end of the call, you make notes. You made notes along the way. If there are things for Anthony to do, you write them on the agenda page. The things
okay.
that you have to do are on the agenda page also. So if you don't get to them, you're going to have some things that you just didn't get to. The client doesn't know, but you just didn't get to them.
Mm-hmm.
They become agenda items for the next call, unless it's something really, really urgent, then obviously you use common
sure.
sense. If there are things that require a specific action, want to rebalance a portfolio, whatever,
right.
you have to make sure that you've got those on your task list so you don't forget.
Okay, great.
And what will happen is over time you'll refine what I've just told you.
Yeah.
And it'll work specifically for you. But the keys to the email you sent me, in my opinion, too complicated. You've got to mm-hmm. maintain the responsibility within the team. Once everything is either going to be under your follow-up or for Anthony's.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's enough said on that. Agree?
Okay. I do agree.
Okay. I ask you to put together one folder, review it, make sure it's what you want to use. Were you able to do that?
Yep.
All right. So how are you going to be – here's the people who are on the schedule for next week.
Mm-hmm.
Are those in the 15 folders or the 10 to – have you got folders for the people for next week?
Some yes, some no.
Okay. A good way to get this going
mm-hmm.
is to have those folders ready when you have a client meeting.
Right.
If you can have your folder ready. I mean, theoretically, you could have all your folders ready today for your clients.
Mm-hmm.
So you just want to start working from those folders. So if you've got 15 people it's introduced to, 9 or 10 are scheduled, the way I would start building these folders, and again, it's what you want to do. I don't care if you go high to low, alphabetical, reverse alphabetical, but I think the way you keep this process going is when you've got an appointment with someone, they go to the top of the list.
That makes good sense, and that's kind of how we've been doing it.
Okay, good. Now, here's what I'm always, and this is a good thing, I'm always having to pull you back a little bit. You want to get going. And I'll ask this question of Anthony. Anthony, do you feel good, do you feel confident with the scheduling tool and putting the folders together?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the reason I ask that question is sometimes people try to do too much, and instead of having a quality rollout, it's a little bit choppy. So here's the permission I'm giving you. You can always call a stop week and say, we're not going to if you feel like you're getting behind or it's not going the way you want, you can say, okay, we're not going to schedule anybody this week. We're going to make sure that the people we've already talked to are scheduled correctly, the folders are put together, so on and so forth. This is about doing it well, not necessarily doing it quickly. You with me, Anthony?
Yes.
Okay. You agree with that, Abraham?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Most definitely.
Okay. Now, I want to go over the folder for the client.
Okay.
It might be helpful if in your manual, Supernova Guide, you would get page 116 in front of you.
All right, we can do that.
Tell me when you're ready.
Let's see, 116.
It should say Chapter 14 Folder System.
Okay. I am there. Anthony has to cover for another CSA who's out, so he is stepping in and out as we go. He stepped out of the room at the moment, but I'll certainly get him up to speed on anything he misses.
Okay.
So we're looking at it.
Okay, here's what we're focused on, that very first one. It says Financial Advisors Folder, and then it says Clients.
I'm looking at it.
All right, let me make sure. We're as I told you earlier, not today, but we are in the process of updating our manual. I just want to make sure we're looking at the same thing. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to page 118.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Here's the power of the client folder. I've told you this before, but I want to reemphasize it. Two things. Mm-hmm. Number one, it's the maybe the first tangible evidence that you are making some refinements to your practice. Gosh, I've never gotten a folder. You talk to a prospect. You have an example of you're talking about your practice. I give my clients a folder to help them stay organized. It's just something that very few people are doing.
Right.
The other part, the power, is the agenda. This is the client's agenda, Abraham. This isn't your agenda. This is where the client puts their agenda. Because just like when I ask you each week before we start, I've got a full plate here, but before I get started, what do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? What's keeping you awake? Whatever. I always want you to be able to ask that question. They may never have anything there, Abraham, but the fact that you're asking sends a big message.
Mm-hmm. You
with me?
I am.
Okay. Here we go. The first page of this client folder is the same as the first page in your blue folder, your folder. Remember that was the critical client information?
Right.
And the way you present this to your client is, this is the information I have on you. If it ever changes, please let me know. So I can update my files, and I'll also update your page in your folder. That's the
okay.
So once you, the first page is the first page. Now.
Yep.
The second page. Now I'm gonna go a little off script here because there's some things in this. This is the new format. There's some things in here that I think need to be more fully fleshed out before I ask you to get in front of a client with them. I'm gonna tell you what I think goes in this folder. It's a little different from what's in your manual. If you got any questions, let me know. So what I want in that first page is the top part of the is where it says client's critical information. Same thing as the blue. I'm going to come back to the financial advisor information in a minute. The second page, this is a it's kind of a free page, a free part. This is for client's organization. If clients get something in the mail, I don't know what it's like. I retired 8 years ago. Clients used to get a lot of mail. I don't think that's changed. They still get a lot of mail from you.
Yeah, for sure.
It could be a reorg or whatever. Here is where they could put that. Here is where they could put If they've got something that's come in the mail and they know they're talking to you next, you know, talking to you 2 days from now, they're going to put it in that folder instead of picking up the phone and calling you. Now, again,
right.
I'm not telling them not to call you. You never, you know, your service, your 1242, that's a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they can't call. So you're not saying to them, don't call me. You're just saying, if you get something in the mail from us, you don't fully understand what it is, put it in there and we can talk next time. Now, if it's urgent, Ms. Jones, you know you can always pick up the phone and call me.
Okay.
So that's this might be where people who get paper statements. Here's where they might want to keep their paper statement
mm-hmm.
until the next month. Instead of throwing it in the drawer, they've always got it there. If they want to refer to it, do it during a your monthly meeting, it's there for
them. Let me ask you, Rob. I thought we wanted to discourage clients from putting voluminous stuff into the folder. That way the folder doesn't quickly fill up with all manner of crap.
I'm giving them an option.
Okay.
I'm not put every folder there. I'm saying put the current folder there.
The current statement. So they would actually cycle the statements out as they come?
As they get a new one. I don't know what they do with okay. I don't know what they do with their statements now, but they continue to do that. But they just keep their
okay.
current statement in there if that's what they want to do. Again, it's a free folder. It's a free part of the folder.
Gotcha.
And they can do what they want to do.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Here's where I'm here. The third page, the information about the topic of the month.
Sure.
I don't want to do that. I think it's too much work for you. If you're
mm-hmm.
if you've got a topic you're talking about, I don't want you to get into a habit of having to send them information on.
All right.
Let's say you're talking about long-term care.
Right.
I just don't think that's. I don't think that's efficient. I don't think it flows well. What
okay.
I want you to put into that third folder is that, you know, that enthusiastically endorsed page we talked about a couple of weeks ago?
Sure.
They're kind of like your Angie's List?
Yes. Yes, I know the page.
Put that in there and say, one of the services that I want to have for my clients is if there's ever any service they need, you know, somebody to be a house sitter, somebody to take care of a pet, somebody, a real estate agent, whatever. I just like for you to let me know when you've got people that you really, you know, you got to have brickwork done at your house, whatever. I'd like for you to let me know so I can start mm-hmm. to compile a list that could be helpful to my clients.
Yeah, and, you know, I see a second benefit of doing that is that if your client is the head of a household or he's married or he handles all the finances typically, you can also explain to him that this sheet will more likely than not have all the important numbers that your wife would ever need if, God forbid, you're in the hospital.
You can use that. That can work. Here's something else mm-hmm. you could. If they've got a – I think one of the things on that list is talks about physicians.
Yeah, it does.
You know, if you – you're talking about a heart surgeon or whatever. There might be an opportunity to talk to that person. Gee, it's
well, like I give that to them blank, and then they fill that out. Basically, is the idea.
It's really meant to be a. If they want to use that form, that would be terrific. It's a reminder that when they've got someone who is really good, to let mm-hmm. you know.
I gotcha. Okay.
You can on a master list, and if she's ever looking for someone
mm-hmm.
help, you've got it.
It just gets that. It just reinforces that introducing your quality professionals to each other kind of notion.
Yeah, and it just takes your again. Most people find professionals through referrals.
Right, I'm with you.
A client who is looking for a CPA, you know what I'm going to say. You can help that person because you've got folks who have enthusiastically endorsed
mm-hmm.
the people on that list.
I'm with you.
Okay, now, The fourth thing, and now we're back up. You see at the top of the first page where it says financial advisor information?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what we're going to put in the fourth. In the fourth. Here, let me back up a little bit. What we have here on the fourth page is a place for clients to keep a record of folks they've referred to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the client's responsibility.
Okay.
I think you're going to get to that a different way.
Okay.
Jones, here's where I want you to write down all the people you refer to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a little bit shaming, Abraham. You know, there's nobody on the list.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Right.
So here's where I want you to put your marketing piece.
Okay.
And we call it a practice overview. And it's a one-page overview of your practice. We just haven't gotten to it yet.
Sure.
But it's I'll send you a template today after our meeting, so you can.
Okay.
It's a basically a quick overview of description of your practice, and then there are three headings, three bullet points that you put three headings that you put bullet points under. Let me ask you.
You know, we created this team brochure that's a eight page glossy. It's pretty nice. I'm sure it has most of the stuff you're referencing in it. Should that go in the folder? It is heavy bound, heavy paper rather, color photos, all that stuff. We'd have to punch two holes in the top of it to make it fit. But is that the kind of thing? It's an eight and a half by eleven or whatever that number. Those dimensions are
8.5 by 11. I'm going to send you. Hold on just a second. I'm going to put it in front of you now so you get a get an idea.
Yeah, but it's a little choppy. I mean, it's different content. This says 4 pages. This says 6 pages.
Okay, it's in my
inbox.
It'll take a second to get there, but I don't
have
any time, much time on this today because I got other things to do.
Okay.
Tell me when it shows up.
All right, not yet. Well, if you want to keep talking, and then I'll let you know when it comes in, because nothing yet. Let me check and see if it was screened out by the...
It's still in my outbox. I work off a satellite, and it takes a second. But as soon as it leaves my outbox, it shows up at your place. So maybe that's a good idea. Let's keep going.
Okay.
Okay. So in that fourth page, you're going to put this practice overview. The fifth part is where the client puts their agenda. Ms. Jones, I'll always be prepared, but I always want to start with what's on your mind. This is a place where you put, or I'd like you to put your agenda for our meetings. It doesn't mean you have to have something there. It just means I always want you to be, I always want to start with what's important to you. And then the last page is blank lined paper so they can take notes. Your clients are like you are. Sometimes they get busy and they make notes on the back of an envelope or whatever.
Sure.
And nothing happens.
So should page five for the client's agenda have literally nothing in it? Or should we put a few blank pieces of paper where they can put something down or just like create a little Word document saying things I want to discuss on the next call or something like that with some lines for them to put some things there?
I would type at the top of the of that piece of paper, I would just put agenda. I want to make this as simple as
possible. And I'll leave it blank. Okay, great.
All right. I don't know what the heck's going on here. I will this thing still hasn't left my my outbox. Let me check one other thing. Let me try. There we go. that might help. All right. So when you look at this client folder, any questions on what goes in the folder?
No. I think we're good.
Okay. I think you are too. Same suggestion. Put one together. Take a look at it. And there may be something, again, you might want to add or refine or change. That's up to you. I think what we've talked about here is a good, solid.
Well, that's awesome because we, in fact, have, you know, we'll have these three meetings on Monday before our next call. So we got to prepare for them.
Yep.
Now, well, let me ask you, if I may. So the first two meetings are quarterly reviews. I feel pretty comfortable about how to prepare for that. The last is a phone call. So for this guy, we introduced the new client service model. We made some changes to his investment program, and that was about a month ago. And so now we have our first phone call. I don't have a set topic per se. I still haven't really constructed the 24-month topic schedule. But what do you think is a good topic for this guy's first phone call?
I think I'll answer your question in a little differently. Mm-hmm. For your first call, whether it be a review or a non-review month, it's good to reinforce the process.
Excellent. That's kind of what we had in mind.
Mr. Jones, we will. This is our first monthly scheduled contact. This is our review. Our reviews will be. Let's see. This is May. Our reviews will be in June and December, and the other calls will be on topics that I think are important to discuss. The reviews will take, approximately 45 minutes to an hour. Our non-review calls will take probably 10 to 15 minutes, unless there's something that you would like to talk about. I've set aside an hour. If there are things you want to talk about, we can always expand the meeting. But normally they will be 10 to 15 minute conversations.
Perfect.
All right. Now, a topic. You want topics of general interest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have next week I will lead with the top how to find all the topics. How many calls? How many non-review calls do you have next week?
I would say three-quarters of them are non-review calls.
Yeah,
so
well, I have two-thirds would always be non-review calls. 8 out of 12.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good general topic having trouble with my words, a liability umbrella. Do you have a liability umbrella?
I do not, but I know what you're saying. I think it's important.
It is important. Excuse me, my phone's ringing. I thought I usually turn this off. It's my daughter. I'm supposed to pick up three of her four kids in an hour. She's probably wanting to make sure I'm not backing out. I have $4 million of liability umbrella. It's not very expensive, relatively speaking. I live on a farm. I have people on my farm with tractors and mowing equipment and all that stuff. I live on somebody goes through a fence and gets hurt or whatever. I want the insurance company to be as interested as I am. I don't want to.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And I do have a PNC guy, insurance guy, who I can enthusiastically endorse, so I'm interested in developing that relationship with. So I think that would definitely make a lot of sense.
Well, is this guy somebody, the PNC guy, is he someone who could refer to you?
Absolutely.
Okay, here's what I would do. I would pick up the phone and call him, explain what the refinements you're making to your practice, and say, I think one of the topics one of the topics I want to address early is making sure people have a liability umbrella. Can you just give me a sense of how you market a liability umbrella, the relative cost? I mean, he could really arm you pretty quickly.
And in fact, I did recently refer a client to him for an umbrella policy just by coincidence. They approached me about it. So the topic is very much, the time is right for that.
Yeah. Well, the umbrella policy, the way my umbrella policy works, I think everybody's, is I have to take it up to the normal limits.
Right.
And then you have the umbrella policy on top of that. If the person is, it's not like he can go to, I think you do your umbrella with the same person you do your regular insurance.
Right, yeah, and that's what he said. He would have to evaluate their home and auto first and make sure that coverage is to the appropriate maximums. And so it introduces a much more important conversation regarding insurance coverage.
Well, the way I think it's best, what I don't want you to start with, These 8 non-review calls are not meant to be sales calls.
I understand.
I don't want you to start with making them think you're in the insurance business. The way I want you to start is we're in a litigious society. I want to make sure that all my clients have considered a liability umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Have you taken a look at that? And
right.
if they say, well, no, I really hadn't thought about it, say, well, I would really encourage you to do that. A liability umbrella is among the cheapest insurance you can get once you've fulfilled the limits on your normal policy. I would really encourage you to talk to your property and casualty person to make sure you've got that you're fully protected. Well, I don't really have a good call. I don't have anybody I really trust. Well, now you can come in with, well, I've got somebody who I'm very comfortable with. I would be happy to put you all together. I'm sure he would be happy to review everything that you have. So I don't want you to lead with that. That sounds salesy. What you're trying to do is get them to go back to their insurance person and have that conversation. But if they don't have an insurance person or whatever, then you can offer to put them together with somebody else.
Gotcha.
Make sense?
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Let's spend. I want to carve out a little bit of time here to talk. You had some wonderful conversations, and I want to look. Well, let's spend just a second. When are you having that lunch or dinner with the attorney?
Which one are you talking about? Oh, that. No, never mind. I got you. We're trying to get that scheduled. They haven't responded yet, Rivia, to
Here's
do that after.
Whatever you talk about is up to you. I want you to use this as an opportunity to market your practice.
Absolutely. It's a POI conversation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, but I want you to start with, this is all about my clients.
Right.
I'm refining my practice so that I can spend more time with my clients. This isn't done to increase my business. This is done so I can increase my client service. And then my bet is that as I increase my client service, that I will deepen those relationships and they will lead me to other people. You always want to start with the client.
Well, Rob, if I wasn't clear, maybe I wasn't clear on my email. I mean, I was going through the typical explanation of the new client service model to him, and he is a client, and he's the one who said, wow, that seems like that's exactly what I've been thinking about in my business. So I was very much on the traditional, you know, path of this is what I'm doing for my clients and for you guys. And then he all of a sudden said, hey, well, I'd love to do something like this because I've been wrestling with these questions and issues for the last couple of years also.
And I hear that, and that's perfect. My point is that I want you to lead with the reason that this started was to improve the client experience.
Okay, I got you.
That's going to be a buy. Your sense is that service is an acquisition strategy. If you provide great service, clients are going to be happier. So it all, when you, the way, again, I want to make sure I get my point across here. If people, this isn't done to increase your business, they'll be a byproduct, you're pretty confident. But the number one reason for doing this was to increase the, to improve the client experience.
Right, absolutely. I got that.
Okay. Let's spend just a second on the VIPSA conversation. That's out of Bill Cates' book.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read Chapter 11?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Here's this attorney, the best time, we feel the best time to start a referral conversation, my allergies are killing me. Hold on a second. We feel the very best time to start an acquisition conversation is when value is given and value is recognized.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a better example of a client recognizing value than what the lady who went through the divorce said to you. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
So here I'm going to give you a real quick run through on the VIPSA conversation. When anybody gives you a compliment, recognizes value, people usually don't say, "Hey, I recognize value. You add a lot of value." They're usually going to say a thank you. But whatever they do, you have to confirm that you heard it, and you do that by not deflecting it.
Got it.
You don't do that "aw shucks" thing. "Aw shucks, that's just what I do." Make sure they heard you. Well, thank you. They know you heard them. "Thank you for saying that, Ms. Jones. We work really hard to provide that level of service." Let's use this lady. I'm just going to read this again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. "Thank you. Thank you for this is you. Thank you for saying that. We work really hard to guide our clients through difficult circumstances." Do you see how you've confirmed it?
Absolutely.
And you've confirmed it around what they've recognized as value.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So that's no matter what, you always confirm it. Even if you weren't going to use this as an acquisition strategy, you always, this is a gift. They're giving you a gift. What does a polite person do when they get a gift? They say thank you. "Thank you, Ms. Jones, for saying that. We work really hard to help our clients through difficult situations." Now, here's this. I'm going to spend another couple of minutes. I want you to write, and we'll flesh this out next week, but I want you to write on a clean piece of paper vertically these letters. You ready?
I'm ready.
B is in Victor.
Yep.
I, the letter I. Underneath that, the letter P.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath, the letter S. And then finally, the letter A.
I actually already had already done that.
Okay, but you didn't have an A in there, did you?
I did, because I thought it was VIPS, but you keep saying VIPSA.
Yep, okay. Well, that's – so here's what I want you to know what each of these stand for. B is value. When a client recognizes value, that's the time to possibly start a referral conversation.
Right.
I is importance. Clients usually do things that we think, when clients think it's important, they do it. You ask for referrals with confidence. That shows the client that it's important. The P is permission. The S stands for suggest, and the A stands for advice.
Got it.
I'll run through it really quickly, and then we'll really drill down in it next week.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Jones, thank you for saying that. We work really hard to guide our clients through difficult times. And then in a millisecond, you process, is this the right time to have the referral conversation. because some things aren't appropriate.
Sure.
So you determine it is the right time. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of guidance?
Mm-hmm.
You don't dance around it. I know I've never asked you this before. I hope you don't think this. No, you just ask confidently.
Right.
You know anybody else who might appreciate that same type of guidance? And Ms. Jones says, well, no. Gosh, I'm drawing a blank, Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's permission. Do you have a second to brainstorm, or whatever word you want to use instead of brainstorm? Do you have a second to think about it? That's asking permission.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure. I'm happy to brainstorm. Well, and then you help them. You know your clients. Can you think of anybody you work with, anybody that you play golf with, anybody you know who's retiring? You know how to make that list
because
you know your clients. And then if the client draws another blank, when clients say they can't think of anybody, that's really what they're saying. They can't think of anybody. Here's how you close that conversation. Well, thanks for thinking about it. Just know I'm never too busy to help people like you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's a very graceful way, professional way to leave that conversation and to plant the seed. I was working with a Morgan Stanley guy in Lexington. Stop me if I've told you this story. His first name is Harry. Harry had it was doing over $1 million, and he had 36 clients. And when he had this conversation with a lady, she said she kind of stopped him. She said, "Harry, I didn't know you took new business."
Hmm.
See, our head wants to
explode
for that. How can clients don't wake up in the morning and say, how can I give Abraham Horowitz a referral? They just don't think about it.
Sure.
And then the A is a way to go when a client says, yes, I can think of somebody. So I don't have time to fully flesh that out. But if somebody recognizes value before next week, I want you to confirm it. You don't have to have any training to do that. And then I want you to make a note of that, what they recognized, and then we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it next week.
Perfect.
All right?
All right. Sounds good.
We'll talk next week.
All right. Terrific. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
All right. Bye.